Welcome to Ruth Lesson 2 on Chapter 2 and 4. In this chapter, there are two parts. First, I would like to talk about God. Secondly, I would like to talk about people. Let me try to reconstruct the scene to you. Do you know what Ruth's state of mind and condition were when she was collecting wheat? Let's try to experience it. A newcomer to a new environment still has the feelings of not being able to integrate into the new culture. She was alone and afraid. She was a foreign woman, the poorest of the poor. And she got to have permission from others to pick up the leftover sheaves. She was afraid that people would not allow her, but also afraid that people may mistreat her. The servant who supervises the reapers is a key person who will determine whether she will be able to pick up the leftover sheaves. But at this time, the master of the servant overseeing the reapers was Boaz, a wealthy and noble man who came before her. Boaz not only provided a place for Ruth to gather the sheaves of wheat, he even thought of all the hardships Ruth might encounter. So he told Ruth not to get to others' field together, in case they reject her and she will get hurt. Boaz told Ruth to gather the sheaves at his place. He will not reject her, and he asked her to stay by his servants who will help her. And she instructed her to follow his servants wherever they go. Be assured that you can get enough supply, that's what she said. He said, if you are afraid of not getting along well with my servants, be rest assured that I have instructed them not to mistreat you. If you are thirsty from your labors, I will have my servants provide you with drinks, said Boaz. She was so flattered by this man's kindness to her that she didn't know what to do. In today's language, she broke her guard and fell on her knees and bowed to Boaz, saying, I'm a Gentile, but how have I been so kindly treated by you? Why such compassion for Ruth? Boaz was not just giving charity, he was showing compassion. He was even concerned with the level of Ruth's self-esteem. Boaz said to his servant, if Ruth feels that she has not gathered enough sheaves of wheat, let her take them from the bundle, even to take some out of the bundle and put it on the ground for her to pick up. Here, Boaz's kindness and generosity went far beyond the scope of Israel's law concerning gleaners. He allowed Ruth to pick up the sheaves, and if she was embarrassed to take them, then we deliberately pull out the sheaves of wheat that has been harvested and tied into bundles and left them on the ground as if they have fallen out for her to pick up. It is shocking to read from scriptures, for God is not asking us to learn how noble a person's qualities are, but to see Boaz as a foreshadow of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the compassion of the Lord Jesus for us. His unfailing care, his deep sacrificial love. We long to receive all the fullness of his presence and to come under the cover of his wings. The meeting of Boaz and Ruth was not a coincidence, because we read in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 11, it is said that God has predestined according to his purpose, who work all things according to the counsel of his will. So we see that it was no coincidence that God led Ruth to gather weeds at Boaz's field, nor was it a coincidence that God moved Boaz to take extraordinary care of Ruth. I'm sure many of you have met someone in your life who is not related to you, but has been especially kind to you. Maybe it was a teacher who taught you something special and your studies suddenly improved. Maybe it was a colleague because of his kindness, your work environment is different. Maybe it's a boss because his promotion, you get a platform that suits you. Maybe it was a business partner because of whom your career or business has gone up. Maybe it was a fellow believer with whom you had great breakthrough in your spiritual life because of your connection. All these favors are given to us by God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, it is no coincidence that we have to give thanks to God for such people in our lives. People whom God has placed in our lives to treat us well. See, that's the hand of our God, our daily living. This is especially true when we experience God's grace in the most daunting authorities that we face in the world and the spiritual realm that we encounter daily. God works in times of trouble in a positive way, not in a negative way. Such a message will bring great comfort to our lives today. The 46th question of the Westminster Catechism says, what does the first commandment do for us? The first commandment is to know God and to acknowledge that He is the one true God and our God, and therefore we should worship and glorify Him. Knowing God begins with knowing the goodness of God. Such a doctrine makes us feel secure at the crossroad of our lives when we struggle to make decisions. Do not know what's right from wrong. God has guided us by His sovereignty through the work of the Holy Spirit. The one who trusts in the Lord is fully rewarded. I would like to move on to the second part to talk about people. Did you notice when you read the scriptures that every time Boaz showed mercy, it was because of the fear of the Lord? In the book of Ruth, he blessed Ruth twice, and both times it was because of the Lord. The first time he blessed Boaz, he said, Ruth, you have left your parents for God's sake and come to a people you do not know, and you are trusting in God, and God will reward you and bless you. He blessed Ruth because he trusted God completely, and he was convinced that the Lord would reward her. There is a humorous point. Boaz did not think that he himself was God's reward for Ruth. When he blessed Ruth the second time, he still blessed Ruth from the perspective that her heart and mind were pleasing to God. He said, daughter, you will be greatly blessed in the end because you acted in accordance with the word and the fear of God. You are not going to marry for your own gain or loss in such a great matter. Ruth did not follow the young man, whether he was rich or poor, but she was willing to submit to the law of God in a matter of marriage, even though Boaz was an old man. But you are not following your own eyes, you are seeking and following the will of God, so you may be blessed by the Lord. The scripture shows us a full and considerate giver, a giver who is greater in the will of God than in everything. Next, I have a comparison to make. Let's look at another man who did not do the will of God, who treated God with contempt. This man, like Oprah, whom I spoke about last week, also left no name because the Bible has no need to keep the name of such a person. First of all, let's understand one of the provisions of God's law regarding the widowhood and remarriage of the Israelites. Deuteronomy chapter 25 states that if a man dies without leaving a son, after his death, his wife was not to remarry to another man. Rather, she was to marry his brother or his closest relative and to give birth to a son who would carry on the name of his dead husband. In order to carry on the name of his brother who died without a son. In this passage of Deuteronomy, we find a word called the house of him who had his sandal removed. It means that the brother of the dead man insisted on his own will and would not marry his sister-in-law, nor would he give birth to a son for his dead brother. His sister-in-law would remove his shoes and spit on his face in front of the elders of Israel. She said, so shall it be done to a man who will not build up his brother's house, and his name shall be called in Israel, the house of him who had his sandals removed. It is a shame in Israel that if you have the name of the house of him who had his sandals removed, you have to carry his name for the rest of your life. Those who refuse to have children for their dead brothers are an abomination to God. In the book of Ruth, the relative who was closer than Boaz was supposed to marry Ruth, but he didn't, preferring to bear the notoriety of the house of him who had his sandals removed. Do you think Boaz had nothing to lose by marrying Ruth? Of course he did. For not only did he have to give Naomi the money for the land, but also marrying Ruth and having a son, he had to bear someone else's name. From a worldly point of view, Boaz was making a losing deal. What did the man who did not want to marry Ruth, who was in of the eyes of the world, gain? He gained the displeasure of God, the loss of eternal blessings, and the discontinuation of his own name. The author of Ruth is also interesting in that he simply did not even write down the man's name when he saw that he valued money more than God's law. Partly because the reader did not need to know, this also showed contempt for him and serve as a punishment. He would not keep his brother's name, and he lost his own name. Boaz, who obeyed God's word and was considerate of God's heart, was blessed forever and ever. Last week, we talked about Ruth paying the price for her faith, and this week, we talk about Boaz paying the price for his faith. So I want to challenge all of you to have faith and be prepared to pay a price for your faith. God loved you enough to personally die on the cross for you. You are to love God and respond to His love. not out of duty, not out of the law, but out of faith. Finally, a scripture to encourage all of you. Judges chapter 5, 31b. O Lord, let those who love him be like the sun. May all of you be inspired by the Lord and become people who love God, and may God bless you all.